B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, January 7th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, there's a growing conversation in the esports scene about the ever-changing meta and whether it's sustainable. Plus, we found a list of predictions from industry experts on what the gaming world will see in 2019. Those conversations are ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today playing a little bit of catch-up from the weekend. Joining me to help break down this marginally important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard. And Joe Sloan.
Check-a-luck.
So I hope you guys had a much better weekend than I did.
I think almost everyone had a better weekend than you did.
Include all of our listeners in that because I had my entire weekend absorbed in a stomach bug.
Oh,
it didn't hit me until Saturday morning,
right?
Which is the worst, right?
Like, well, it's your first day off,
right? Like, if it had the tail end of Friday night or something, at least I could have, I don't know, called off work or something,
sure.
Right? But like,
no, Saturday's your first half. Like, it's right back to high
Saturday
school.
Morning.
You're sick for the weekend in high school, and
exactly.
You're like, oh, good, I'm well in time to go back to school.
Exactly. So, I don't know if it was something that I ate or if this was some kind of virus that I had picked up from somewhere, but it was violent.
Well, let me ask you this. What percentage of the food you consume is delivered to you by a phone app?
Almost 100%.
I'm going with something.
70%.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably more than more than 50. Like,
okay.
It's a lot.
I'm going with something you ate. I'm going to have to go ahead and go out on a limb on that one.
Yeah, you may not be wrong on that one. But yeah, that was unfortunately the bulk of my weekend. I was so sick I couldn't play video games.
Have you ever been,
you ever been that sick?
That's how I know I'm actually sick.
That's exactly how I know I'm sick. Like, my parents love telling this story from when I was a kid, because I had gotten E. coli poisoning when I was in fifth grade.
Speaking of food poisoning,
you told me that before.
Yeah, it is horrible. And the thing is that they always tell the story to this day. In the hospital, they had one of those Super Nintendo carts that they would wheel around between the different rooms.
Yeah.
And I played like 2 seconds of Super Mario World and then rolled back over and went back to
bed.
That's how they knew this is really serious.
My parents, when I was in high school, I got mono in my senior year and I had a flight booked to Florida for spring break.
Tragedy.
And I was telling my mom, like, Mom, I don't feel good. And it was the day before I was supposed to leave. She's like, oh, really? You don't want to go to school today? I'm like, no. Like, I have to cancel my flight.
It's just,
it's that kind of sick.
Well, damn. And mono's nothing to mess around with,
no,
right?
Oh, it was the worst. It was the worst, like, 6 weeks of my life.
Dude, right as this show was getting started, I got diagnosed with mono. And it was right before we went out to E3 for our first year.
Yeah.
And I was going, no, wait, no, what? No, this can't happen.
Not now.
This is the worst possible time.
Yeah.
And that had taken me down for a good 6 months, man.
Oh, dude, you're wiped out.
Like, it's terrible.
There's no energy. Well, I had a much better weekend than that, I'm happy to say.
Good. What'd you do?
I became a homeowner over the weekend.
Hey, so, congratulations.
Yeah, there
life goals and stuff.
Yeah, like you know, adulting and the like.
Yeah.
Have you guys set some ground rules? Those are important, let me tell you.
We have set some ground rules. Now we're unfortunately in what is maybe even worse than waiting to sign. We're waiting for the family to move out. So we have to wait on that because they are closing on their new house today. Day actually,
oh, okay,
and then they've got to wait for that family to move out so they can move there.
Jeez,
where?
Yeah.
So, how much of your stuff do you have packed up so far?
I would say about 40% of my stuff is now in boxes.
Gotcha.
Damn.
Basically, I am over the next month boxing everything except for like my computer and microphone.
So basically, beginning of what I'm hearing is beginning of next month, sleep over at Joe's house.
I mean, by the beginning of next month, I should be moved.
I think
February 2nd or February 3rd is our official day where we can start moving in.
Nice. Oh, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, we're pretty excited for it.
That's great, man. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Norris, how about you? What'd you do?
Please tell me you played some games, Norris.
No, I didn't do shit. I didn't do a thing.
Oh, you! No, you're lucky.
Not even Roller Coaster Tycoon.
No, you know what? I played a little bit of everything. It was one of those weeks where kind of like every time I cut some on and played it for a little bit, I was like,
I'm not feeling it. I have those. Those are the worst. Are the worst.
Yeah. See, I didn't get to play any games over the weekend, but I did start the process of it. In that, I was sitting on my Switch and like. Huh, it's weird that I don't own Pokemon Let's Go Eevee yet. So
go buy
fair
it.
Enough.
Now I own it now.
It's so fun.
It's fair ready enough. To go. It's the next project.
And after I, got over my whole Smash thing, I told myself I'm going to probably finish Spirits Mode at some point.
It's really good.
I picked up a couple books. And I really kind of started going through those, and I forgot how much
Stop trying to make Checkpoint Book Club a thing.
No, I'm
not. It's not going to happen.
No, that's literally what I did. Because of that conversation, I was like, damn, I haven't gone to the bookstore and bought a book.
To be honest, though, this weekend was a really nice weekend to do that because we had some really great weather. Like, even though I was sick, I was able to open up all of the windows and feel like I was able to get some fresh air in here.
It was like 55 on Saturday.
Yeah,
it was gorgeous.
Saturday went out and ran errands. It was beautiful.
I was really sad to sleep through all of Saturday. I think I was awake for a total of 4 hours on Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
It was brutal, dude. It was so awful. Robbie, what was going on your weekend?
All right, so I actually made progress on stuff. So as you guys know, D&D hasn't been going on for a while now because our DM had some life stuff, had to cut out on us.
Sure.
So I'm taking up DM responsibilities. The first official stream is finally happening next Monday. So that's what, the 14th, I think,
yep.
On the 14th. So anybody who hears this and wants to come and hang out with us, please do so. I spent all weekend prepping the first dungeon for it, getting the players to make their backstories and stuff. I am so excited. I haven't DM'd in probably like 4 to 5 years.
Nice.
And to actually get that control back that you lose as a player and have, people's lives in your hand that you can like kill them or throw rocks on them at like any point if they disobey or just annoy you, it's such a good feeling.
Now, well, that's awesome. And again, that comes back to the channel when?
It's going to be on the 14th. It will be the first day. And every Monday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
Nice. So make sure that you hit that follow button and come back for some fun D&D action. So
also over the weekend.
Yes.
We had, I was getting continuous updates from one Nate Bender.
Yes.
Magfest.
That's exactly where I was going next. Is yeah. that before. Before I was stricken, right? I was having a blast watching the stream for MAGFest. And I don't know how many of you out there know about MAGFest. MAGFest happens right outside of D.C. every year, just after the new year, stands for Music and Gaming. And I don't know if they've streamed to Twitch in past years, but they were streaming some of their stages this year. Yeah. And I was watching the main stage performance. And I gotta say, man, I saw some of the most inspired music performances that I've seen anywhere. And it's not just of any one type, too. For two solid days, I was glued to this stream.
Yeah, it was all you could talk about in the chat. And
it was phenomenal.
I popped on. I was in and out of it because I was out of the house a lot this weekend because the weather was so dang nice here. But, yeah, what I checked out, I thought it was pretty cool looking. I was very impressed. The DJ battle.
The DJ battle was awesome.
Battle, I'll put that in quotations. That they
but
had
I mean,
was
like,
pretty cool.
Some of the talent that they had, James Landino, I had never heard of him before. Totally blown away by his set. Grindcraft, that's who I was there for, had a phenomenal set. I was impressed with Jada Bella as well. And Ralphington. Ralphington was phenomenal as well. He had a great version of the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate theme that he did. Brought out a singer from Germany, and it was phenomenal.
But it was not a song I don't like. I want to hear less right now than the Smash Brothers Ultimate theme.
Really?
I hate having that song stuck in my head.
That's true. Just having the melody. Yeah.
I'm like, stop yeah. it.
It's so good, but yeah, it is. It's an earworm.
Mega Ran had a really killer set as well. But I mean, even the Thursday night performances, the big band performance was really something special. I just saw so many acts that impressed me, and I vowed this publicly on Twitter to never miss another MAGFest. I've never gone to MAGFest, but this stream completely sold me on going every single year. This is a party not to be missed.
Now, listen, guys, you saw what Nate just did, and I'm speaking directly to the powers that be at Beasley. You see what Nate just did, how he completely sold that event. We need to be there. We need to be there in a major way. So Beasley,
I'm just gonna be honest. Like,
Beasley, cut the check.
Like, I really enjoyed watching the stream, but the one thing that I couldn't help but notice was that when they were in between sets, all they had was title cards up showing you who was gonna be there for throughout the day.
What a waste!
And I think that yeah, you could have hosts
Come
there.
On. I mean, just
who
dead
are
air.
Just guiding exactly. Come just on. Dead air is not the way that you can do that. You can make that much more engaging. And I don't know, man. I would love to offer my services to MAGFest.
Well, I know that you're right at the top of their list of people they want to do it. So I'm sure they'll be glad to hear that you've offered. But I'm just shocked that like MAGFest remains such a unique event. Like, I can't believe there aren't, you know, like we've got PAX East, PAX Prime, PAX West.
Sure.
How is there not MAGFest West?
There's some satellite shows that they do, but it's just starting to kind of get off the ground.
Because like 3 years ago, I don't think that existed.
But MAG West is a thing. So yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. How was your weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we've got a list of predictions from industry experts on what we'll be seeing in the games industry in 2019. We'll give our thoughts coming up in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Mark Cuban and Nate Nanzer talked over the holidays about whether the demand on esports athletes was sustainable. We'll break it all down coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, GamesIndustry.biz had a bunch of analysts make predictions about what we'll see coming up in 2019. Plus, we'll check out our conversation with Aaron Harvigo of the Big Ten Network about their efforts to start covering esports. Those conversations are ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily. Over the holidays, Mark Cuban got into a discussion on Twitter with Overwatch League Commissioner Nate Nanzer. It was just a few tweets back and forth about whether the demand on esports athletes was sustainable, but it sparked a majorly important discussion.
Yeah, so I just want to read a little bit of the tweet. So this is from Mark Cuban, who, you know, Dallas Mavericks, very
Shark
outspoken.
Tank.
Yes, and I was just about to comment on that. He has been extremely skeptical about the long-term viability of esports, and he's not been shy about it, and so far he's been wrong and been happy to admit that he's been wrong.
I'll give him credit for that. He has always freely admitted when he was wrong.
Absolutely. So let's take a listen to what the exchange was.
Right. So he was citing an article talking about how esports players are burning out in their 20s, and he says the core issue is that the games change. With each change, every team has to practice as a unit and consider every permutation. That requires intense practices and a lot of time. It's the main reason I wouldn't buy a League of Legends team. Support is great, but it doesn't change the issue. To which Nate Nanzer replied, working 8 to 10 hours a day doesn't seem out of the ordinary to be the best in the world at literally anything, does it, Mark? Overwatch League teams have amazing support infrastructures to help their players manage those schedules and be at their best on game day. It's not really any different than basketball. You should come check it out. Mark then replied, how often does the game change? How much time is required to adapt and perfect as a team after a change? And do all teams globally approach the practice time the same? I'm far from PWL smart, but look at the Brigitte change. The NBA doesn't make meta changes mid-season.
See, and we've talked about this so much, about what shifting meta does for the longevity of an esport, and also what it does in terms of marketability, watchability, all that type of stuff, when it comes to how the public and the players react towards a particular esport. And I think this is an important question, especially from an executive, somebody who would be an investor,
yes,
in esports, that, you know, it's a question that I honestly think is not necessarily asked enough. CBS just did a special over the holiday break about esports and about how many hours are being put in, and burnout in particular. And I think that this is a conversation that needs to be had. Listen, when we're talking about professional sports, you have guys who are doing maybe 2 to 3 hours of physical practice a day.
Sure.
Maybe another 3 hours of video review and other non-physical practice, you know what I'm saying, strategy, all that type of stuff. Then there's, you know, sort of like a training and plyometrics and all that type of stuff that's not, you know, working on game skills. That does really only cover about 8 to 10 hours. We regularly hear about esports professionals putting in much longer days than those 12, 13, 16 hour days.
And
that's absurd.
And I think, you know, we've really got to focus on the subject of Mark Cuban's concern, which is the shifting meta, which isn't necessarily even determined by any of the leagues. This is determined by the developers. Now, unless you have a situation like with the OWL or like with League of Legends, where the developer is highly, highly involved with the way that the league is run,
right,
and managed, you're at the mercy completely of the developer. If the developer changes something and changes it the night before your tournament and your computers aren't updated the next day, it can delay the tournament. And we've seen this happen. This has happened enough times where it's been an issue. So I think that, you know, in instances where you do have the developer working with the league, shouldn't some kind of thought or care be given to the way that the meta shifts, so that you don't have an incident that played out like we saw at the Fortnite Winter Skirmish?
Yes.
Or, you know, any of the times where we've seen tournaments have to shift on a dime in terms of the meta that's being played.
Well, and that doesn't even take into consideration the quote-unquote off-season for esports. The fact that they have to keep playing to stay up on meta shifts and the way that characters or changes interact with each other, you don't actually have an off-season, yeah, right? In sports, you're not going to be still playing football. You're still going to be conditioning. You're going to be staying in shape, but you're not playing that same game every single day. And on top of that, these kids are also streaming to try to make up more income as well.
You're absolutely right. But at the same time, there is a certain argument out there that I sympathize with. If these guys aren't playing on the current meta, how can you really say that they're the best in the world at that game at that particular time?
Fair.
If your community is playing by a completely different set of rules than your pro players are, who's to say that you're actually the best? Is that genuine competition? Is that more fair? Is it not? I don't know.
I mean, it is an interesting conversation, but I also think it's a conversation that's not necessarily rooted in what makes sense.
It's not rooted in reality.
Yeah, it's not. I think there is a certain level of meta locking that you have to have for your esport to be viable.
Sure.
I mean, think about how many times that, you know, you've gone to play basketball or soccer or whatever sport, and like you and your buddies just make the rules up. It doesn't matter how good some person comes in and plays under that rule set. If they're just better than you at basketball, they're just better than you.
Exactly. Little league, JV, varsity, college, and
all
pro football
rules.
All have different rules, but you still don't. No one disputes that, because, you know, the people who play in the NFL are the best in the world at what they do. No one disputes that.
But at the same time, Mark's got a really good point that, you know, if you've got these guys that are struggling to be able to keep up, then, it, you know, do you not see burnout at 24, 25 years old? You really do. And I think that, you know, to make esports long-term viable, I'm kind of with Mark, where you've got to be at least a little bit, you've got to be aware of it at least, and especially in instances where the developers are closely linked with their league, I think that there should be an extra, you know, like some extra thought given to that. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. We're currently talking about a discussion that Nate Nanzer, the commissioner of the Overwatch League, had with major investor mogul tycoon
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban. I don't know if a tycoon is the right word to call him.
He's up there. He's almost a tycoon.
I feel like
a
that
sports entertainment tycoon.
Crossing like, into that.
I feel like if he heard me call him a tycoon, he would take it as a compliment.
Yeah, but
that's how it's meant, Mark. If you ever hear me,
here's something that I think is also, you know, really important, is that we acknowledge sort of what kind of steps could be made to make this better. I think when we see the franchise model in League of Legends and in Overwatch, by having a very specified off season, right?
Sure.
That, you know, you can make sort of big, huge meta changes in that off season, and then maybe very small ones while the season is going on.
You take a measured approach.
A more measured approach,
yes,
where you notice maybe these are bugs or something is much, well, much
but
too
how
powerful.
Many of us complimented OWL's move to shift meta in between stages?
A lot.
It was interesting to watch every single stage.
It was, but at the same time, I understand that argument of having such drastic meta changes in between, because as we saw, it completely wiped certain teams out of contention.
It did.
And I think that while that's interesting from a viewer perspective, from an investor and a team management perspective,
or a player perspective,
I'm furious. I don't want the league to be ran that way.
Well, because that's how you're making your bread. But as a viewer and someone who's interested in seeing the competition of it, I don't know. I actually like seeing the meta shifts happen, because then it gives it gives a team who's had a really tough stage.
You're Sabiobi, right? You're really great at Tracer, right? Tracer has been an on meta character for since the inception of the game itself. All of a sudden, overnight, you're done. You're not a one trick. You're not just a one trick and that's your only character. But the character you made your name on,
right,
and the character that you make your money on, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, literally overnight, bam,
then
gone.
Do you deserve to be an Overwatch pro?
Look, you have every right to be upset about that. You have every right to be upset about that.
Yep.
But if you can't adapt, are you actually the best?
Do you deserve to be there? I hate to be that tough, but that's really what the question is. Do you deserve to be there at that point?
But then it becomes a bigger question of, how is that person then supposed to adapt but also play within, you know, only 8 hours of practice time?
Because it's their job.
But there are other players who are doing that, who excel at 7 to 8 different characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are, but they're also putting in 14 hours of playtime a day. If we're going to talk about limiting playtime and being more considerate of these players' well-being and mental health, we can't expect that of you cannot have both.
It's impossible. But at the same time, you've got to show up to your job. You've got to do the job that you're paid to do. And they're paid quite a bit of money, by the way. Not as much as a pro athlete, but they're paid quite a bit of money. It's not like they're not compensated for their time. So I don't understand why this would be a problem if everyone... It is the same across the board.
Dude, just because everybody's working 90 hours a week, that all of a sudden makes it okay?
No. I'm saying everyone in Overwatch starts from the same place.
But that's what they're doing.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Then are you the best in the world?
But I'm saying, do you have to put in 90 hours and sacrifice your mental health for this? That's the bigger question.
If those who are the best can and you can't, then I don't know, man.
I don't know what the answer is there. Listen, we want to hear from you. Is it on the developer to keep the meta from changing too often? Should a developer hold back an update that will improve the life for the average player but upset the pro scene? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead here on Checkpoint XP Daily on our educational special this year, we had the opportunity to sit down with Aaron Harvigo of the Big Ten Network. That interview will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, GamesIndustry.biz had a bunch of analysts make predictions about what we'll see coming in 2019. We'll give our thoughts on their predictions coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas 101.5 FM as well as 720 AM and KJR 950 in Siena, Washington. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes. There's only one place to get them. That's twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Every year, gamesindustry.biz has their analysts give predictions about what the upcoming year has in store for the world of video games. Overall, they did pretty well last year, so we wanted to take a look at some of their predictions for 2019.
Yeah, they graded themselves on their how their predictions went. They were hitting at about a 70-75%
clip. Pretty good, pretty good.
I tell you what, if you could do that well at sports betting, then you could never have to work again.
That's true. I do have to hand it to them, although I do have to say, in my limited time being a video game commentator, I do think that some of these reads are pretty easy to make.
Listen,
some of them are
a little vague and easy to come true.
Yeah, vague is also the other key word here, because the more vague you can make your predictions, the more easily
like fortune telling.
The more easily you can kind of apply them to any given situation.
Something good will come to you in your life.
I predict Nintendo's going to do well this year, guys.
Like, yeah, if you say, I predict Nintendo's going to release a game with Mario in it, there's probably a pretty good chance that that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, well, let's listen to some of these. First ones are from Dr. Sirkan Toto with Kantan Games. He says that a Switch Pro and Switch Lite will release in 2019.
See, here's the thing. Didn't they announce that?
That seems pretty logical.
They didn't announce it, but it was like some SKUs that came out, some new SKUs.
This is something that I think has been sort of rumbling for a while now.
He also says, along with more of an install base, we'll finally get more third-party Switch software, which
insane not to put more games on the Switch.
No, I think that you're right. I think that there are many, many games that would do well with Switch distribution. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that that's very smart.
This next one is one of those safe ones.
I think so, yeah. No PS5 or new Xbox launch, but details will emerge on both.
Okay.
This is the safest prediction I've ever heard.
Yes, unless Sony does like a Sega Saturn type thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like what else is Sony or Microsoft going to do in 2019 besides either one of those things?
Yep.
Like neither one of them are going to full out go, hey, here's our new box. But you're probably going to get some like, you know, tech specs and some maybe prototype shots. I don't know. If we get anything close to the Sony Boomerang controller, though, I'll be filled with glee.
He also says there will be no breakthrough in crypto, blockchain, AR, or VR gaming this year.
Makes sense.
Also I would believe that. Yeah.
That might be spicy. That one could end up coming back to bite him.
That one didn't mean anything until he tacked AR and VR onto the end.
I don't know. Blockchain actually looks like it's going to be like something may happen there. But I don't know. We'll see.
Lastly, he predicts there will be no competition for Steam in 2019. So he's saying the Epic Store and the Discord Store not going to work.
Discord Store, I definitely don't think is going to work. Epic is debatable. Yep.
Okay. Even if Epic takes off, I still don't think that's going to hurt Steam in any way.
So. He said
no competition.
Yeah, see, that's the important part. No competition.
Yeah, I don't think even with Epic doing well that Steam's going to see much of it.
No.
I mean, but think of how long Steam's been out there selling games completely without any kind of competition for how long.
I wouldn't switch just because of the fact that then my library
would be split.
Yeah.
All right. This next guy is Michael Pachter from Wedbush Studios.
He's already made tons of headlines for his predictions.
Yes. And this first one is bold. I like it. Major game announcements from Take-Two, including BioShock and a new title.
I'm sorry. What?
That's his prediction.
What?
Outside of his prediction, there are already rumors about a new BioShock title.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He also predicts Ubisoft will drop 4 AAA titles in 2019.
Okay. And they're all Assassin's
Creed. No, that's what I was about to say. First of all, they already said no Assassin's Creed in 2019.
Division.
Yeah,
Division is coming
2.
Out.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
one.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond
Mario
Good and Evil.
Rabbits 2.
Beyond Good and Evil is not ready.
No way.
Probably not.
So
no
what
way.
Else comes out?
Yeah, that's two more for Ubisoft. I have no idea.
Don't know.
He predicts that Overwatch and Call of Duty Blackout both go free to play.
I like this one.
Yeah,
actually.
I really believe this one.
Yes, especially for Overwatch particular. You need this to sort of double down and really grow your OWL viewer base.
How many years has OWL been on? Or has Overwatch been on?
It's on its third.
Third or fourth. Yeah, you're pretty much going to sell a copy to anyone who's going to willingly buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's time. I agree.
Time.
Respawn will drop two new titles, Titanfall 3 and a new Star Wars game. I could see that. Nintendo launches a fully handheld Switch for $200.
How's the Switch not already?
Just handheld. No, what? No.
Yeah,
TV
you can't. You can't disconnect the Joy-Cons.
Oh.
And there wouldn't be a docking station. It's basically to help pick up where the DSs are now falling behind.
I could see that.
Yep,
I could see it.
You probably also won't be able to disconnect the.
The Joy-Con.
To be honest, owning a Switch now, I think it's a silly purchase, but like, just buy the full Switch.
Yeah. And lastly, Elder Scrolls 6 in 2019.
This is the stupidest. Hold on, he's wrong. I need to back this up because he doesn't just say in 2019. He says because of how spectacularly Fallout 76 failed, they push it up make up for it.
Get out.
A whole new level of
If you're not developing Elder Scrolls 6 for the next gen console, as all of us have brought up here before, why would you suddenly be like, you know what? Nah, let's put it out this year.
Why would you rush it?
End.
Like, let's think about this, though. Fallout 76 took how much to develop? They didn't have to develop a new engine. They didn't have
assets came right over. They didn't have to develop any new assets.
Maybe one or two. They like, just not much.
I mean, the Scorch Beast is a new asset. But
well, no, but that's just even a dragon from Skyrim with a new skin on it.
The only thing they had to do from scratch was the world.
All right, lastly, we're going to take a look at Matt Piscatella with the NPD Group. He says digital content will account for 90% of all game sales.
I think it's not
already.
No, last year it was like 84.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
Switch will emerge to lead the console market by the end of 2019.
If it happens.
Of just 2019?
It'll be the lead. It'll hold a 35% share of the market by the end of 2019.
Yeah,
if it happens.
Well, again, that was kind of safe based on the fact that both the other consoles are at the end of their life cycle.
That's true. I don't know that Nintendo has that much kitsch, but maybe.
Subscription spending will continue to rapidly grow. That's not very shocking.
That's not shocking.
2018 success are going to make the numbers in 2019 look comparatively weak. So these thinking like people are going to be like a little worried with the numbers because of how successful 2018 was.
And again, with this being the end of the PS4 and Xbox life cycle,
and I mean this was the last blockbuster year for either console.
Yep,
we're gonna
I agree. We did too.
I mean, we had some of the strongest titles in the entire console's life cycle. Yeah,
there will be more focus on social hangouts and games this year.
That sounds about right.
I believe that. And streaming options will increase, but finally begin to outpace consumer adoption.
That makes sense.
Yes. I could actually see that.
I like that a lot.
I could actually see that. Listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited for the upcoming year in gaming? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next, we'll sit down with Aaron Harvigo of the Big Ten Network to tell us how they're wading into the world of esports. Stick around. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Make sure you visit our website at CheckpointXP.com for our variety of Checkpoint podcasts. We've got the Checkpoint Main podcast, as well as Checkpoint XP Daily, this very show. A growing list of game-specific shows like our Overwatch podcast, Low Team Damage, as well as our brand new show for Fallout 76, Checkpoint 76. And our new show about comics and superheroes, The Other Identity. Subscribe and download at our website, CheckpointXP.com. Over the next 6 episodes of Checkpoint XP Daily, we're listening to a collection of interviews we've amassed in 2018 discussing different aspects of esports and education. Well, we got to sit down with Aaron Harvigo of the Big Ten Network to find out what they're doing to grow collegiate esports. Joining us now is Aaron Harvigo from the Big Ten Network. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. So we just had our League of Legends grudge match between U of M and MSU, and it was the first time that these two teams had ever met in esports. How is Big Ten planning to support the growing esports communities on campuses?
Well, we've actually been supporting these communities since, you know, around 2016, which is when we first got involved in it. Initially, it started out as an exhibition match between Michigan State and Ohio State at PAX East. And from
I remember that.
Were you there?
I wasn't there, but I watched it.
Yeah, it was really incredible because for me, that was the first time I'd ever seen anything on that scale. And just the passion of the fans, you know, we're in Boston, which is not necessarily Big Ten country.
Right.
And yet there was not a seat to be had. It was really standing room only. And, you know, being an exhibition matchup, there really wasn't anything that didn't have any importance to it. But at the same time, people were just riveted. And so I asked my counterpart at Riot Games, like, you know, I'm seeing all these, you know, millennials and Gen Zs, and nobody's checking their phones or Snapchatting. They're just really focused on the game. And, you know, what's that all about? And he said, everyone here really wants to learn how to play the game better, so they like to watch others play it. So that, for me, was just this aha moment, because you don't see that level of, you know, interest, I don't think, even on the traditional sports side, that, you know, that just really, you know, focused attention. And so, you know, that was where we got started in it. And, you know, from there, we developed this great partnership with Riot and our Big Ten schools, where we created, you know, teams that were able to use the school marks, and they played, and we created a regular season schedule with Riot. So we had, you know, playoffs, we had a tournament, you know, we had the regular season streaming, and, you know, all those things, you know, really played on that traditional sports model. And it was so successful after that first year that, you know, we had some more conversations with the Riot and decided to do it for an additional 2 years. So this will be our third year of doing that. So I'm really proud of what we've been able to create from a content standpoint. We were able to provide scholarships to students at all those schools. So it's been really just this great partnership and this great opportunity.
Now, the Big Ten has some truly, you know, storied rivalries. Obviously, Michigan, Ohio State jumps to mind. How can some of those traditional rivalries be leveraged into esports?
Absolutely, and we were looking at that too, especially our first year when we were doing that, because we really weren't sure how to match up the different schools. So we did it based on rivalries. So, you know, we did have, you know, Michigan, Ohio State in the regular season. We had Wisconsin, Minnesota, and, you know, we were really trying to capture that natural built-in passion. You know, what we found from that is that some of those teams were not necessarily equally skilled and equally matched. So, you know, for year two, we tried to schedule a little bit more so that the level of play was a little bit closer, so you don't have these blowouts. But, you know, I can say even last year for our tournament, we had an 18 round robin tournament, and Michigan happened to play Ohio State, which was the favorite in that matchup, and it was great. It was just such an exciting game. You know, kind of a fun anecdote to that is, you know, leading up to that matchup, we actually had to delay it a little bit because, you know, we were streaming it from where these players were on campus, and so one of the players from Michigan was actually playing out of his dorm room, and someone pulled a fire alarm right before the matchup, so everyone had to evacuate.
Oh my gosh. So
it's just kind of like that could only happen in the collegiate space, and I loved it. I mean, it was really fun, and it ended up being this great matchup, and Michigan ended up upsetting Ohio State, and so that was just this big, exciting rivalry.
We've been talking about the tribalism that comes with collegiate esports, and it's almost unique to the collegiate scene at this point that people, we saw it with U of M and MSU, people who would not have cared about esports otherwise, when they found out, oh, Michigan State's coming to campus, okay, well now it's time for us to go cheer.
Right.
It seems wholly unique to college esports.
Mm-hmm. I think it is. I think, you know, and just in talking to, you know, these esports athletes that we have on our team, you know, one of the things that they are most proud about is being able to represent their school and to be able to play for Illinois or for Wisconsin or Indiana, you know, that means a lot to them. And I think that that is also something natural for people who are traditional sports fans to really understand is, okay, you know, these players are also representing my school much like a basketball player or a football player would.
So in the Big Ten, in Big Ten country, really, yeah. really we have what people would refer to as winter for about half of the year.
Yes.
It's very
yes.
cold. It's not fun to be outside. And that really seems to play into the idea of that seems like a great time for esports.
Yes.
What would your stance on that be?
I'm very familiar with the weather. I think you're being very generous in saying it's half the year. I would almost argue it's 3/4 of the year. But yeah, I mean, that obviously plays into a lot of the things that we televise on the Big Ten Network, especially our spring sports sometimes have to be rescheduled and redone because of that. But, you know, esports is great in many ways. But to that point, it is something that you don't have those weather elements to worry about. And also, too, like, you know, for us, we have connectivity to all of our Big Ten schools. And so, you know, we were able to do, you know, that tournament that we did last spring, you know, completely online. And so nobody, we didn't have to travel people or do anything else. And I think that that's just a huge advantage that you just don't see in traditional sports.
Kind of on the other end of that, you know, collegiate esports is, of course, an entirely different animal than, say, college football or college
yes.
basketball. And part of that is not having to travel if you want to do it in an online capacity.
Right.
But what are some of the unique challenges of presenting an esports event at the college scene?
I think probably right now it's just awareness, and that's what we're really trying to build and grow upon. I mean, I think one of the things that we did really well last year, particularly for our tournament, when we looked at the game itself, you know, we really tried to bring a lot of Big Ten elements into it. And I think the other important thing is really kind of raising the profile of, you know, these great esports competitors who, you know, maybe don't have as big a fan base, obviously, as some of those the pro players. So what we did, which I really liked, we have these mini studios on each of the campuses, and we spent some time to interview some of these students before their matchup so people could really get a feel of who they are outside of just what they were seeing, you know, during the game. And I think that really helped it. And I want to keep growing that and really, you know, showing the personality behind some of these players because, you know, they're great. I love it. I love their passion, their competitiveness. And, you know, we want to keep supporting that as best we can.
You know, we've been talking to a lot of folks involved with collegiate esports programs, and you know the hurdles that they've faced trying to get their administration at their various schools to really embrace the notion of esports. And I'm just really curious, what have the reactions from the higher ups at the Big Ten Network been to the rise of esports in our culture?
They've been really supportive. You know, for us, you know, it was really important for us to get the buy-in from the schools as well.
Sure.
So
yeah.
You know, we are obviously have these great relationships with the athletic directors at each of the schools, and we've been working with them, you know, for years on traditional sports. And so, you know, when this first came up back in, you know, 2016, and then we decided to start that regular season in 2017, you know, we did reach out to all the schools and kind of explained it and said, hey, this is what we'd really like to do. Would you like to come on board and be part of this pilot program? And, you know, I have to hand it to, you know, the Big Ten athletic directors for being so forward-thinking and kind of taking the sleep, you know, with us, because we were the first to be able to do this in the college space. And, you know, I think that was, you know, just kind of this very pivotal moment for collegiate esports.
Aaron Harvigo from the Big Ten Network has been our guest here. Thank you so much for joining us on Checkpoint.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Aaron for her time. And for more information, as well as tons of Big Ten content, visit their website at btn.com. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow for the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course Mike Coos, who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.